is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to our producer holding it down today, Chris Persianen in New York City. Now, we have gone through a lot here over the past 2 hours. We talked about Trey Hendrickson of the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, they told him, hey, man, just go try to find a trade because the Bengals are cheap. We know that. And they're stupid. We talked about Joey Bosa being released. He's a free man. Now, what good is it if you're a free agent and you can't stay healthy? Well, that's why he's a free man. We talked about Dan Lanning getting a new contract extension with the Oregon Ducks. Bill Belichick starting off spring practices. He must feel like a brand new man. Good for him. We talked about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers have been on a roll. 12 consecutive wins. This is their third winning streak of 12 consecutive more wins. The Cavaliers are good. I think they'll be good until they take on the Celtics in the postseason. We'll see if injuries factor in. Hey, and thank you so much to Mike Sando. Covers all things NFL nationally for The Athletic. He came through and he said, listen, I hear what people are saying about Shedeur Sanders. I got Shedeur going number two to the Browns. We have so much more to get into. How about this? I told you about the Cavaliers. In 20 minutes from now, we'll have a conversation with Joe Vardon from The Athletic. Get his thoughts on what the Cavs are doing. He's based in Cleveland, Ohio. I don't want to say that they can shock the world, but we'll get into it. You can always listen to the show on the free Odyssey app. If you want to start from the beginning, if you want to hit pause, if somebody's interrupting you, you want them to shut up, you pause it, you tell them to shut up, and you hit play again. It's the Odyssey app. Thank you for people listening on your local Infinity Sports Network radio affiliates. People tuned in on SiriusXM 375. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. It's really that simple. Anyway, 855-212-4227 is the number. That's 855-212-4227. You know, coming off of what Mike Sando said last hour, he made the point that a lot of NFL teams, and understandably so, could be scared away or intimidated or have issue with Shedeur Sanders because of his dad, Deion. Naturally so. You don't know what Deion is going to tweet on Sunday after a game. You don't know if Deion is going to be at the game. You don't know if Deion is now going to say it's your fault. You have no idea what's going to happen. Like, from everything that I've read, heard, learned, I never met Shedeur in my life. He seems like a good dude. For a guy who grew up, well, as a rich kid, and I think Deion is certainly going through his issues and problems in life. I think that should not be discounted. Shedeur is a good dude who has the world at his fingertips and doesn't come across as an egotistical jerk. I know a lot of people will look at his conversations and press conferences from the combine last week and just tell you up and down, oh, he's confident in himself. Well, what the hell is wrong with that? He's a professional athlete. If you're a professional athlete and you're not confident in your abilities, then, man, go sit your ass down. Go do something better. Go play hopscotch or knit. Not that there's anything wrong with knitting, but it's not cracking skulls on a football field. And then you throw in the Deion factor, people can be concerned. And so I pose the question, would you be afraid of Shedeur Sanders because of his dad? Like, they got some stroke. I honestly think, yeah, we might see something here or there. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm way off. I think Deion, unless it's necessary or prompted to his degree, not mine, I'd take a way step back, kind of work things behind the scenes. I think Deion is going to chill out. I know that sounds crazy. That sounds absolutely nuts. But I think Deion is going to let his son be his son. I don't think we're going to get daily tweets. I don't think we're going to get press conferences. I think he'll be asked and I think he'll say he's his own man. I hope that's what he does. Maybe I'm wrong. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Now, I did mention before we went to break that we've had plenty of father-son duos in the world of sports. And not everybody has the stroke. Not everybody has the fame. Not everybody has the influence that they want. Come on, Vladimir Guerrero playing up there in Toronto for the Blue Jays. His dad is one of the best hitters I've ever seen in my life. I don't think I've ever heard Vladimir Guerrero say a word. He most certainly isn't going to be an advocate publicly for his son. You know, it ain't no Eli Manning, Archie situation here, okay? Ain't no Deion and Shador. There is no LeBron James and Bronny. But one guy that we did see, both a father and son, you know, both all-stars. I'm not talking about the Griffies. The Bonds. Bobby Bonds. Multiple-time all-star. And then we had Barry. And we know Barry Bonds, just, damn it, he took things to a brand new level. I mean, what he utilized to get to that brand new level at the end? Well, we know what he utilized. But Barry Bonds, with or without drugs, with or without being a jerk, someone who didn't need, you know, the holy influence of his dad, he was one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And it is such a wild situation. Because Barry Bonds sat down on the All the Smoke podcast. And this is actually a good podcast. It's out years. Sometimes I can't deal with all the profanity, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Listen to Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. I haven't listened in years, but I like them. And they had Barry Bonds on the podcast. And one of the things that Barry was asked about, amongst many things, was about Shohei Ohtani. Good question, right? What does one of the most feared hitters of all time think about Shohei Ohtani and his game? We know about the accomplishments of Shohei Ohtani. The guy just won a World Series. He became the first guy ever with a 50-50 season. Hey, Barry, who needs your 40-40? He won his third MVP award, his first one with the National League. And now there's two in the American League with that bum-ass Angels team. Oh, yeah, and then who can forget? He actually pitches. Yeah, he didn't pitch last year. That's why he had a 50-50 year. He was just able to go out there and focus on hitting. And when he does pitch, he's a starting pitcher with an ERA of 3. Rookie of the year. A $700 million contract. So Barry Bonds, what do you think about Shohei Ohtani? Is he as good as he is? Would you beat him? Would he play in your era? Tell me, Barry.
Okay. I mean, the game is way different than it is than when I play. The same way Michael talks about it or anyone else. Mm-hmm. Ohtani is not going to hit two home runs without seeing one go right here in my generation. I don't care what he does. Mm-hmm. He's not going to steal two bases without somebody decapitating his kneecap and slow him down because it's a different game back then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Barry Bonds went to the back in my day. And it's natural. That's what every single generation does. It doesn't matter the sport. Man, it doesn't matter. Life is just what it is. Back in my day, back when I watched this. Congratulations. But Barry said he's amazing without a shadow of a doubt. But do we have to put he wouldn't be able to do it? Do we have to put somebody would have nailed him? I don't know. What, Roger Clemens would have popped him in the brain? I mean, is that what we would have saw? Like, can we just enjoy what we got? Now, Barry Bonds, I know he's been on that bicycle a lot out in the Bay Area. Reportedly, Barry Bonds racks up more miles on a bike than an automatic bike out there. A Google bike. I don't know if Google has bikes, but you get my picture. These baseball players, they're not always that friendly. You know, baseball players are still fighting. They're still dirty. They're still pushing. I mean, these baseball players, they still got beef. Now, is there dip and chew and guys are swinging bats and smoking cigarettes? No, we don't have all of that anymore, Barry. That is done. A lot of that stuff is actually banned in the dugouts now. But I don't want to lessen what Shohei Ohtani has done by saying, oh, it's a different era and he wouldn't be able to have 50 stolen bases because we would have he would have went at his knees. And so, Barry, what were you? You were so great. You got 40 stolen bases. OK, that's a lot. Did you miss out on another 10 because somebody took out your knees or because you couldn't do it? Like, which one was it? Just leave things the way they are. Shohei Ohtani's amazing. You know, I'd venture to say if we took Shohei Ohtani back in time, what do you want to drop him into the 70s for a street fight? What happens if we put Shohei Ohtani in the 20s or the 30s? How many home runs would he have in that year? He'd be bigger than half of the guys out there. So Barry Bonds, just pump the brakes just a little bit. It feels like these conversations are always that. Well, oh, LeBron James, what would he do if we put him in the 70s? What would Michael Jordan in the 90s do today? He'd be whooping ass. That's what he'd be doing. You think Luka Doncic dropping 30-plus, Michael Jordan be out here cooking people. Anyway, Barry Bonds wasn't done on the All the Smoke show. Barry Bonds had more to say. Barry Bonds said, oh, yeah, he's an amazing hitter, but just maybe if he didn't pitch, he'd be even better. Listen to Barry.
I just hope he just stays at the hitting category because his hitting ability is off the chart. Pitching, I just think, might tire him out. I think he should come out of the bullpen here and there. Like he has these, because he's DH and he can come out of the bullpen and throw an inning or two here, and just because he's so good as a reliever, too. Like he could be one of the dominant relievers and dominant starters. I think as a starter, man, I think it might get wear and tear a little bit and tire him out. Why fix something that isn't broken? Because
that's definitely not
that's
broke.
Like, I couldn't, me, I'd be like, no. They fixed my name, bro. This is good. I'm good. Peace. This is great.
Well, we know Barry Bonds like to. Well, we know. I'm not gonna say he didn't work hard. We knew that Barry Bonds had a limit, and then he wanted to do some other things to get over the limit. Like, okay, that's you, Barry. He can pitch and he can hit and he can do both at a high level. So what's the problem? I mean, if you're a human being, don't you want to max out at whatever the hell it is that you can do? I mean, we got Travis Hunter, who's trying to get his way and will be in the NFL. We've seen what he could do at the college level. The man can play receiver. The man can play defensive back. As much as he is able to at the next level, why not utilize his skill set and do both? When Shohei Ohtani came to the United States of America, we all knew from the get-go, it was pretty much plain and simple. Wherever Ohtani was going to go, they needed to let him hit and pitch. Now, pitchers get hurt. We know that. Shohei Ohtani's had to take time off because of having reconstructive surgery on his arm more than once, I should say. We get it. Pitching is dangerous. Would Shohei Ohtani still be special if he wasn't able to go out there and throw? I don't know. It's Barry Bonds. I'm not going to say he's jealous, but is he bothered? I mean, Shohei Ohtani could do something that you couldn't do. Or is it just that you are too lazy to go out there and throw a baseball, Barry? I don't know. Leave Shohei Ohtani alone. I'm glad we have somebody who can do both. And I agree, yeah. What would Ohtani do if he could just hit? Are we looking at a guy who's going to play for another 10 years and crack, I don't know, 35, 40 home runs every year? Yeah, possibly. But the guy is special. He's doing something that we have never, ever seen done in Major League Baseball at this level. And he made himself a $700 million. Please, Barry, tell me where Shohei Ohtani went wrong. Maybe he should just stop, pause, and give some of the money back and say, you know what? I don't want to pitch anymore. Maybe Barry Bonds could be Shohei Ohtani's agent. I think Ohtani needs a better translator. I don't think he needs a different agent. I think all of that kind of speaks for itself. Hey, Barry, go ride your bike and leave Shohei Ohtani alone. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. We come back. I'm going to get to your calls. Well, you know what? I can't get to your calls because we got a guest coming up. I'll get to your calls later on in this hour. We're going to have a chat with Joe Varden from The Athletic. He covers the Cleveland Cavaliers, the first team in the NBA that has already clinched a playoff berth, a team that is on its way to 60-plus wins. But the bigger question is, are the Cleveland Cavaliers really that good enough to beat the Boston Celtics? We'll have that conversation with Joe Varden Talk about the Lakers. Talk about the Mavs. Look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. Think about the Knicks. And then the Celtics. They just cruising for another championship, right? We'll have this conversation with Joe Vardon. I'll talk more with you. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. Even Barry Bonds on his bike on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, there's so much going on in the NFL. There's so much going on in the NBA. We got March Madness getting ready to heat up. But I want to talk about an NBA team that has certainly been hot all throughout the course of the season. They've already clinched a playoff berth. They're on another 12-game winning streak. They're hopefully going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and then go even further than that. Joining us right now to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers and everything going on in the NBA is someone who covers the league out of Cleveland, also nationally for The Athletic. It is Joe Vardon. Joe, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine. Good to be back.
All the time. Well, these Cavaliers, I mean, they've been hot all year, and I feel like people are finally starting to pay them attention. What are your overall thoughts on what they've been able to do this year?
Well, start with the attention. They're on ESPN or TNT all the time now. They're switching out the games and putting the Cavs on. I mean, they just had a streak where they had four games in a row that were national TV, and then they were on last night against the Heat, and they're going to be on Sunday in Milwaukee, and I'll be there. And then, you know, it just goes on and on. They switched out. They're putting them on Sunday, ABC, in next Sunday against the Magic. So, you know, the league and fans are paying attention to this team. They're the second team in NBA history to have three winning streaks in one season of at least 12 games. And I was thinking about this today with them. When you think about the dominant teams in the league now and teams that you might think are contenders, you know, most of them have that single dominant player, you know, whether it's Shea with the Thunder, the Lakers with LeBron and or Luka, the Denver with Jokic, and then in the East, you know, the Celtics. I mean, they're a little bit deeper and a little bit more diverse. But I mean, you know, you still have Jason Tatum is kind of the alpha, and Jaylen Brown's right there. Mm-hmm. With the Cavs, like, Donovan Mitchell is a great player for sure, but they really do this by committee. You know, I mean, Donovan's numbers are very similar to Darius Garland's, and Evan Mobley is right behind them as far as points per game. You know, and Evan and Jared Allen both, you know, are double-digit rebound type guys. And then they have a bunch of role players that are doing great. You know, the trade for DeAndre Hunter, he has been tremendous, and he has really helped them. You know, they haven't lost since he's been on the team, which is kind of crazy to say. It's been a month now. And then I guess the last thing I would say as far as the 30,000 feet view as to what's going on is they have a player, Ty Jerome, who I would probably vote for, and I have a vote. I'll probably vote for him for Sixth Man of the Year. And he's 6'5", and he's a guard, and he's averaging about 12 points a game off the bench, but over the last 10, 12 games, his averages are way higher. And what's so crazy about him is that he's been in the organization for a couple years. He missed the entire year last year with arguably the worst sprained ankle of all time. And so, you know, you talk about, like, well, how did they change the team? How did they go from this team that was middle of the pack last year to being so dominant without changing the roster? And that's true, they did, but Ty is an addition just by getting him back from injury. So they do it a little different in Cleveland than some of the other dominant teams, but it really has been fun to watch.
And Joe Vardon is here with us from The Athletic. You talk about changes. Well, we see Kenny Atkinson taking over, now J.B. Bickerstaff having success elsewhere. What has that change done stylistically for the team? Is that Kenny Atkinson's mantra, kind of spread the wealth around?
Yeah, I think the thing there are a number of components to the style that Kenny Atkinson preaches, but I think even the casual fan could watch this team and see that the ball never sticks. It doesn't stop. And even you go back to the Cavs' glory days, you know, 2014 to 2018 with LeBron, and there would be lots of times throughout the year and in the playoffs where it would just be pound, 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 you know, grind the shot clock down with the ball either in LeBron's hands or Kyrie's hands. And then you get a shot there at the end. The ball never stops moving in Cleveland. And it's really hard to guard that way. And, you know, there's a lot of movement away from the ball. So that's the first thing. I also would say that Kenny has done a really good job with how he manages player rotations and what the Cavs do depending on which players are on the floor. Mm-hmm. When they go to the bench and, let's say, Darius Garland is off the floor but Donovan Mitchell is still on it, they switch 1 through 5 defensively. You know, they don't feel like they have somebody who can be hunted. And then when Darius is on the floor but Donovan isn't, they go to a little bit more of a helping defense so that the teams that try to isolate Darius have a little bit harder time to do it because there's help there. Maybe those were some things that didn't happen before. But, you know, the thing that Kenny says all the time is that this team has been together for a while. And, yeah, he's made some changes, but there's a lot more of it is about just the continuity of the group and Kenny just sort of tinkering here and there to take a group that has known each other well and really turn it into this cohesive unit.
Well, Joe, right now, probably the biggest hurdle in the East is currently playing a rec league game in Boston against Philadelphia. All things considered, if everybody's healthy, it's not going to be no rollover, you know, for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Would you still favor the Celtics here?
You know, I think about this a lot. I get asked this question a lot. I was there in Boston last Friday to watch those teams go at it, but Kristaps wasn't out there and Drew wasn't out there. This is how I'm viewing it today. I would pick Boston because they've done it, and that matters to me. I just think that postseason success matters, and yet you can't have it like you can't go into a series being successful unless you've done it. So at some point you have to break that seal. But the Celtics are as deep or close, and they've all been tested, and they all have done it at the highest level, and they won. The Cavs, that they have proven this to be the case, that they are worthy of the respect of the Celtics, and they have assembled a team that can beat Boston in the 7-game series. Can and will are really different things, and we're gonna have to wait until late May to decide if the Cavs will actually do this. But they are, this is not a fluke. What's happened this season? It's not a joke, you know. And they have every chance, you know, to take that series and move on to the finals.
Joe Vardon here with us from The Athletic. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. If we go out west, we see another team that's surging. That's the Los Angeles Lakers. Luka Doncic looks like he's played his way into shape. LeBron James looks revitalized. Surprisingly, the defense is rolling with Jackson Hayes out there as the big man. Of course, typically when you have change, everybody is excited. Are the Lakers in this for the long haul out west? Do you see them going to a championship?
Man, you know, I just got through, you know, talking about how much experience matters to me. And, you know, we don't need to talk about LeBron's experience. You know, the participant in the finals out of the West last year was Luka Doncic's team. So right away, we're talking about two of the best players in the NBA still. And they both have finals experience. The other thing that's really interesting about this, when you say, are they a finals team, is that they really could wind up playing their franchise nemesis in the second round, the Denver Nuggets. And where is the answer on the Lakers, you know, for Jokic? I don't know that they have one, but they didn't even when Davis was there. So, you know, that would be a pretty massive hurdle. I mean, when I got home from my game last night, I mean, you know, you throw on the Thunder, and they're playing a Memphis team that's pretty good, and the Grizzlies just weren't close, you know? Like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he controls the pace of the game. He reminds me of the way Kawhi used to do that when he was in Toronto, and Leonard would just slow things down to his pace, and Shai does that. They're also deep, but they are also untested. You know, they flamed out in the second round last year despite having the best record in the East, or the West, excuse me. So it's a fascinating bracket over there. Golden State's back in it all of a sudden. But I really love the job that J.J. Redick has done in Los Angeles. They were playing really well before this trade, and obviously the trade changed that team not only in the present but for the next decade probably. Oh, so yeah. As long as LeBron's going to be engaged like this at both ends and Luka stays healthy, why not?
Well, Joe, when you think about a team that is far from engaged, I mean, Kevin Durant had to defend his behavior with Budenholzer the other day. We know about the attempt to trade him. We know about the attempt to trade Bradley Beal. We know he's going to be gone in the offseason. What do you think is the ideal landing spot for Kevin Durant?
Wow. I think you start with Dallas and you know, sure, the Kyrie injury changes that a little bit, but you still, I think, Durant and Davis together, I mean, that was a heck of a pairing at the Olympics. So I like that one. You know, I think the Heat can always be a possibility. Obviously, we're not going to see Golden, you know, the Warriors. That's not a thing. You know, the Rockets have always been mentioned. You know, I actually have been told that Brooklyn would have him back. You know, there's a reason they didn't trade Cam Johnson. And it wasn't just that nobody would meet their asking price. It's more so that Brooklyn is interested in being better again quickly. So,
okay.
You know, I don't have a singular answer for you, but if you think about how big all those, you know, how huge that lineup is already in Dallas and some of the other pieces that they have, you know, you throw Durant in there. I do think that's a goal, for the Mavericks.
A final, disaster team question for Joe Vardon. Joel Embiid, he's just a 7'1", 7'2" paperweight. Like, what can we expect from this guy besides making $70 million a year? Like, what are we doing?
It's such a mess. I was thinking about them today, actually, just the disaster of a season for Joel. Health-wise, you know, the fight with the pushing of the reporter and the injury reporting and all that stuff. But it's not just, I mean, he's the biggest issue, right? If Joel isn't right, it's not going to work in Philadelphia, period. But, you know, Paul George hasn't worked there at all. And a lot of their role players are way up there in age now. And I still like Nick Nurse. I think his reputation has took a little bit of a beating in the league. People don't, you know, who play in the league and work in it don't speak of him as highly as they used to. It's not going to work unless Joel gets healthy. And I think they're right to have shut him down for the season. And you know, I think he's getting surgery, and so then, you know, he's going to have time to let this heal and hopefully show up in shape and ready to go. But I just, when the Olympics ended and we were all leaving Paris, you know, I didn't see this for him. I thought I saw a player who had played his way back into shape and would have been one of those guys who maybe experiences like a positive bounce, you know, from the Team USA experience. And instead, it's been the exact opposite.
Yeah, well, all the best to him in recovery, and hopefully it's the last surgery and recovery at Joel Embiid. An interesting career that is still ongoing. Hey, Joe, thank you so much for the time. Please tell everybody again where they can follow you and your work.
Well, the best way, you know, is just at The Athletic. The subscription is affordable. You know, we have all the various social media handles. If you're still on social media, that's fine. But just, you know, really just value our customers and check us out at The Athletic. And our stories appear on the New York Times homepage as well. Thanks for having me.
And no doubt about that, Joe. Maybe a finals by the Cavs without LeBron. How about that?
How about that? How? Yes, the final for me personally, the last 7 years, I guess, and then the bubble was a whole other thing. 2 months down there, but yeah, you know, I cover every finals, and you know, without having a home team in that, you know, you're gone for a long time straight. You know, conference finals and finals. So yeah, personally speaking, it'll be all right if the Cavs make it to the conference finals and then get all the way there. You know, to have half the playoff games at home will be pretty cool.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, Joe. Well, we'll catch you on down the line. Enjoy the rest of the season, okay? Don't get sucked up into March Madness either.
Yes, sir. I'll do that and look forward to talking to you soon.
All the time. That's Joe Varden from The Athletic. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, I'm going to get to some of your calls. I see that the internet is kind of going crazy over a lot of things. Draymond Green and Charles Barkley. We're going to talk some NFL. We got a lot to do. But right, it is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, here's a teaser. That's not the last time you're going to hear the name Ali on the show tonight. Yeah, we're actually going to talk about her dad, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali did something this day in sports history. We'll get to that at the end of the show. You got to wait until next hour. It's not that far away, okay? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Hey, thank you so much to Joe Varden from The Athletic for joining us in the last break. He thinks the Los Angeles Lakers, yeah, they're good. Would they get past the Nuggets? And he was absolutely right. He's like, what are they? Anthony Davis is gone. Man, watching Jokic bust the ass of Anthony Davis was a thing to behold. One of the best defenders that the NBA has seen. Them long-ass arms and shot blocking. Jokic was like shooting jumpers from behind his head over Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis couldn't do nothing. I know Anthony Davis he's like, man, don't put Jokic in front of me. Please don't. That guy made no sense. He still makes no sense. Jokic is just, he's amazing to sit down and watch. He is. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Let's go ahead and hit the phone lines. Let's talk to John. John is calling from Baltimore, Maryland. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, John?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Of course, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. You know, I love everything Baltimore and Maryland, but I do think that the Oakland Raiders did the right thing by paying Max Crosby. I mean, I could only imagine what we could do with him if he came to Baltimore. Secondly, you said that you think that Shedeur Sanders is ready to calm down. I mean, Deion Sanders is ready to calm down for his son. I just don't understand when or if he's ever began to do that. I feel like he went out Colorado. He became the head coach. First couple years he was out there, they didn't really do much, but he did bring the college to a national level. And then he did what everybody else does, and he went to the portal to build around his son. But, I mean, to say that he's worthy of a top 10 pick, honestly, I mean, that's kind of like reaching. but he is Deion Sanders' son. Deion ain't going to shut up. We know this.
No, I'm not. Well, I don't know that, and you don't know that either. And my point,
I remember, I was born in the 80s. Well, you know, so I mean, I appreciate Deion, Hall of Fame player, one of the best players ever.
John, hold on a sec. John, you spoke. I'm going to respond now. Okay, is that all right?
Oh, my bad. Go ahead. Yeah.
It's okay. I understand you were born in the 80s. I saw this guy play his entire career in life as well. My point is, and the point that I made earlier, I don't know, and you don't know, what Deion is going to do. We've seen Deion get drafted. We've seen Deion play. I've seen him play baseball. I saw him play football. I've seen him do all of this. I saw him play for Washington. I saw him talk. I saw him coach. I've seen what he's done. One thing that we haven't seen from Deion is to actually have a child move from under his wing. There's a lot of cases in a lot of places. You can typically look at people in college or high school. When your kids leave from underneath you, it's not the same. He's been coaching his son his entire life. You know, what happens as Shador gets older, starts having a little bit more independence, starts having his own say-so in his life and where he's at and influence over that? I think that's a factor. Now, I can't sit here and guarantee a damn thing because I don't. I don't have a magic wand. What I can tell you is what I think. Do I think Deion is always going to shut up? No, but I do think he is going to calm down. I said I believe he's going to be selective in when he speaks, and all we have to do is wait and see what he does. I can't guarantee that he pipes down, and you can't guarantee that he talks. We got to wait and see, John.
No, I mean, I agree with you 100%, and if you feel that way, I mean, of course, that's how you feel. But what we can do is see what Deion has been his whole entire life. And the fact that we've already heard things about where he's not going and what he's not going to do. Like, I mean, we haven't heard that. That's what, Elway?
Yeah, but no, we've heard that with Eli Manning. John, that's part of the process, and that's what we have to bear out. I mean, if he was
still... Shador not grown?
Hold on, John.
I'm sorry, Ray, my bad.
It's okay. John, why are you so hyped up?
No, I was just wondering because, I mean, like, we all know that this quarterback class is weak, right? So you're telling me right now, I mean, this is basic Cleveland Browns behavior, honestly. They'll go out and they'll reach and they'll snatch Shador Sanders. They won't do whatever anybody thinks they need to do. He'll fail, maybe go somewhere and be a decent backup, and then what? I mean, this is what the Cleveland Browns do. I'm telling you right now, as a Ravens fan, if my Ravens drafted Shador Sanders top five, in this draft,
y'all don't,
I would
John,
not be happy.
Y'all don't have to. Y'all don't have to worry.
A quarterback. My bad.
Well, John, y'all don't have to worry about it. That's the first thing. And second of all, outside of Shador Sanders, this is all NFL teams do now anyway. And I had this conversation in full yesterday about quarterbacks. Teams draft quarterbacks, and they hope that they work. And if they don't, they're right back into the toilet. Because nowadays, there's no such thing as developing quarterbacks and sitting him down behind a veteran. You got a team like the Tennessee Titans that'll bring on a Will Levis. And if Will Levis stinks, then, back to the drawing board. We have a team like the New York Jets that will bring on a quarterback like Zach Wilson. Yep. He doesn't work, then we'll go ahead and move on. So that's not something that's exclusive or new or special to the Cleveland Browns. We certainly can look at the disasters that they've made over the past several years. Most notably, you know, taking a look at Deshaun Watson and now having to climb out of that. So I'm not going to say that's exclusive to them, you know, because they play in the AFC North or you're familiar with them. Every NFL team that needs a quarterback is going out there and is swinging for the fences. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. They got to go back to the drawing board. I mean, the Tennessee Titans are so empty in every single thing that they have right now that they're forced. They need everything. I wouldn't blame them. They're going to be bad next year as well, regardless of what they do. And so the Tennessee Titans are between a rock and a hard place. We gotta go ahead and take Ward. Oh, because we're afraid that if he succeeds somewhere else, then my ass gets fired. And so that's the name of the game. That's the nature of the game. I think the Titans are going to be ass anyway. I would be mad if they went out there and said, you know, give me Travis Hunter and then tank next year. They need so much help. They need so much work. But this is the good part about sitting down and watching and figuring out what's going to take place next. But when it comes specifically to Shador to say, hey, not a top 10, says who? Says who? Why? There's a lot of teams that want a quarterback and are willing to grab one. And let me tell you, I think we've seen some worse quarterbacks, guys who are worse off taken. You want to talk specifically about this draft? And man, I'd be shocked if that guy isn't taking top 10. A lot of loser-ass NFL teams itching for a quarterback that they do not have to pay $50 and $55 million. Everybody's looking for the next Jaden Daniels. Yeah, we know he's very, very different. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. We come back on the other side. We're going to continue on with the show. I told you at the end, we'll go through a few things that took place this day in sports history. We got Alexander Ovechkin, who's making himself some history. And you know what? Joey Varden just talked about Kevin Durant. There's somewhere else he might go. I'll let you know. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.